Okay, we will start in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. For those of you who are just joining us today for the first time in a while, see lots of new faces. Welcome back if you're back for the summer. Welcome if you're just visiting for the weekend or whatever it may be. We're very happy you can be here with us today. We are in the midst of a series, and today we're in part four of a series called From Burnout to Balance. What we've been talking about for the past few weeks is about how we can take our overloaded, overburdened, overcrowded, overstressed out lives and move to a more balanced and more rational, reasonable way of living. Because we realize that God didn't intend us to live in a crowded lifestyle like that. Okay, God never intended us to be stressed out beyond belief. So we're trying to figure out how we can live a more balanced lifestyle. And some people still don't believe that this overcrowded thing is for real. So I got another story for you. Anyone ever heard of El Toro, California? City near in one of like the suburbs of L.A. True story. Pet delivery truck, okay? Big truck delivering pets. Was driving in El Toro, all right? And every time the driver of this truck would get to a traffic light, he would do something very weird. He would run out the truck, take a 2x4, bang as hard as he could on the back of the truck with all his might, and he would run back in the truck and drive to the next light, get out, bang as hard as he could on the back of the truck. So someone was observing this crazy truck driver doing this for a few traffic lights, so he said, "What's going on with this guy?" So the next time when he got out and he banged the truck, the guy asked him, he said, "What are you doing?" So the truck driver explained. He said, "Look, buddy, I got 2 tons of canaries in this truck, and it's only a 1-ton truck. So I don't have enough space for all of them on the ground, so I got to make sure that half of them are in the air at all times." So he would get out, bang it, shake them up, so half of them be in the air, half on the ground at all times. True story, but I think a lot of us, even though it's a funny story, can relate to this, because this is the way a lot of us live our lives. We are one person carrying like 15 persons worth of stuff. That's why the majority of the stuff is in the air. It's like juggling. You got 2 hands, you got to keep one ball in the air at all times. A lot of us live our lives that way. Well, today we're going to see how our Lord talked out in the gospel the secret. All right, I'm going to give you the secret right here to stress management from the mouth of God himself. Better than any seminar, better than any book that you can read, our Lord today is going to talk to us about what is the secret of stress management, and he says it all in one sentence. And in one sentence, which is at the top of your handout, you will see he says 3 things to do, and you do those things, our Lord promises satisfaction. He promises your stress will go down. He promises you will lead a more balanced life. What is that? It comes from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. Our Lord says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You all have heard this verse before, these verses before. How in these verses can we find the secret of stress management, the secret to live a stress-free and a stress-reduced life? Well, through 3 easy steps. First thing he says is, come to me. Step number 1 is come to Jesus. Write it down. Come to Jesus. It says, come to me. That's the first 3 words there. Come to me. The first thing he says, you want to lead a more balanced life, first thing you got to do is you got to come to me. Now let's go back to biblical times. Lots of people came to Jesus. All right, and they came for lots of different reasons. What are some of the reasons that people came to the Lord? What are some reasons that people came to see him?
Healing.
Sometimes they had questions they wanted answered. Sometimes they were hungry. Sometimes they were trying to trip him up, trying to trick him into doing something, to saying something that caused them to accuse him of a crime. Some people came to him for salvation, right? So people came with all kinds of different reasons. But is there ever any time in the Bible where someone came for rest? Ever any time where someone said, "My soul is wearied, my soul is tired"? This is kind of a unique thing that the Lord is saying here. We don't recall too many examples of that. But somehow he says that if you are overloaded, if you are overburdened, if you need rest, come to me and I'll give you rest. Of course, the rest that our Lord is talking about here is not a physical rest, because our Lord knows that our need is not for our bodies to rest, our muscles to rest. fact, you take a look around the Coptic Orthodox Church, and I would say there's a need for our muscles to be a little more active in life. Right? Our bodies to be a little bit more work. That's not where the need is. The need is on the inside that we find a little rest, that our souls and our emotions find a little bit of rest. So that's what the Lord is offering to us here. He says you need release from your worry, from your tension, from your anxiety, from your guilt, from your stress, from all that kind of stuff. Well, come to me and I can give you a hand. I can help you out with any of that kind of stuff. Ask yourself this question. When you are tired or exhausted or stressed or whatever, or burdened, you know, whatever it may be, what do you turn to? What do you naturally turn to? Every one of us turns to something. And I'm not saying you're not a Christian here if you don't turn to the Lord, but let's be honest. Many of us who are Christians, Jesus may not be the first place we turn. He may be like second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, or whatever, but very rarely is he the number one place we go. Where do we turn when we're tired? Just when we're stressed out. Some people turn to the TV. They just want to sit and veg in front of the TV. I'm sure some of you have great plans this summer to do nothing except watch reruns of Saved by the Bell all summer long on TBS from noon to 1 o'clock, in case anyone's wondering. So I've been told. Some people turn to friends or their relationships. Some people turn to drinking. Some people turn to reading. People turn to different things. But what the Lord is saying here is turn to me first. None of those things, drinks, TV, your friends, books, none of that stuff can provide you rest for your soul. None of that stuff can relieve you from your bitterness that's weighing you down, or your guilt, or your anxiety, or your stress, or your whatever. None of that stuff, bless you, can release you from that weight that's on the inside. Look at Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 to 31. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. The Lord promises here that you will get renewed strength, okay? Meaning something new, something that you don't have, something that didn't exist before. See, all those other things, TV, relaxing, you know, drinking, whatever, maybe they can take the strength that you have and let everything rest for a little bit and then give you back. But the Lord isn't promising that. He's saying something new. He's going to give you supernatural strength. I'll give you strength that you never had. I'll give you strength that you never thought you could have. I'll give you strength that you only think exists in the movies or in biblical times. I'll give you that kind of strength, a new strength. How do we get this? Well, it says here very clearly, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Those who wait on the Lord, those who turn to the Lord will get that strength. You see, the answer for stress management is not in a seminar. It's not in a book. It's not in 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, whatever book you may read. It's not in a pill or in a drink. None of that stuff is going to relieve you from your stress. None of that stuff is going to relieve you from your overloading. Only coming to the Lord, coming to Jesus. Even notice when he says here, he doesn't say, come to church. He doesn't say, come to Bible studies. Those are good things. Those should give us rest. But he doesn't say that. He doesn't even say, believe it or not, I couldn't believe it. But he actually didn't even say, come to Bruna Anthony's Light and Life meeting every Sunday. I would think, surely that's in the Bible somewhere, but it's not. What he says is, come to me. Because apart from him, coming anywhere else, but coming anywhere except coming to the Lord himself, is not the solution. Nothing else can give you the rest outside of your relationship with God. You can come to church every day for the rest of your life. You have a relationship with God, not going to get any rest. You can attend every Bible study in the history of all mankind, know the Bible forward, backward, inside and out. No relationship with God, never coming to Jesus, it's not going to do you any good. Okay? That's what Boom Show was talking about today in the sermon, about spending time with the Lord, and we need Him on a day-to-day basis. Right? Sometimes we look at our time, we're coming to Jesus for His sake. Come, I'll come to you, Lord, to make you smile and to make you happy and to, you know, so you get off my back. But don't expect it more than once or twice. Don't expect it too often. He says, no, you come to me and I give you rest. All right? We're not doing anything for him. This, what I'm telling you right now, what the Lord is teaching us is the exact opposite of what everything the world teaches you. The world teaches you you're empty or you're whatever. Do more things. Get another degree. Get a promotion. Work harder. You know, whatever. Do more things. That's not whatever our Lord teaches. He says it's not a matter of do, it's a matter of come. Just come. You don't got to do anything. Just come and spend time with me. So that's the number one condition. Alright? Anyone who's overstressed or over whatever, number one condition if you want to lighten your load is you must spend more time with Jesus. You must come to the Lord. Now, once you come, what are you supposed to do? Well, number two is you have to give up control. Give up control. And if we go back to the verse at the top, the Lord first said, come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. That's what we just said. Come to me, all of us who is heavy laden and labored. Now the next thing, when you get there, what are you supposed to do? He says, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. This take my yoke upon you is what we're going to talk about right now, which is giving up control to God. A lot of times, the reason that we're so tired and so overloaded and so overstressed is because we like to be in control of everything. And some of us are control freaks. And some of us are perfectionists. And some of us, if it ain't being done by us, it ain't being done right. And if I'm not able to micromanage every single little detail of this, then it's not being done right. I don't like to let anyone else do anything. We think that if I don't show up to work, or I don't do this, or I don't whatever, then everything's going to fall apart without me. That's not true. We think that we're in control. Well, you're not in control. God is the one who's ultimately in control of everything. It's up to Him to get the job done. So we have to learn how to let go of control to God. The greater your need to control things, the greater your level of stress is going to be. Automatically. The greater your need to be involved in every single little detail, the greater you're going to be overloaded and overstressed out in life. So that's why our Lord says, let me lighten your load, come to me, and take my yoke upon you, and then you get rest. Come to me, take my yoke, you get rest. Does this sound a little funny to anyone? Come to me, take my yoke. What is yoke? We gotta figure out what yoke is. Take something, and then you'll be rested. Wait a minute. This doesn't sound like a very good deal here. I'm already carrying too much. I don't want to carry any more. I'm already carrying. That's why I'm coming to you, remember? I'm coming because I'm overloaded. So I'm coming to you, you're saying, take a yoke? No, thank you. That doesn't sound very relaxing. Thank you, but no thank you. You keep your own yoke. I got my yoke. Mine's more than enough. Well, in order to understand why our Lord is telling us, we got to understand what a yoke is. Who knows what a yoke is? Not an egg yolk. I know. I see you out there, some of you. Huh? The thing that pulls an oxen. The thing that pulls an oxen. All right, very good. We have a marker up here? No? The thing that the oxen pulls. Yeah, very good. The thing that the oxen pulls. Okay. I'm going to use these two oxen right here as my example of what a yoke is. All right? These two oxen got to carry something from here to there. So instead of just tying a rope to the back of this oxen and he's got to pull it, what's better is you take a big wooden beam, like the kind, like, you know, when you go to like Disneyland, you can put your head and take the picture like that. Looks kind of like that. So you put it around these two guys, and then they pull the load together. The load automatically becomes half the load, right? Because they're pulling it together. So a yoke is something that would tie these two together, and then they would pull it, and it would make the load much lighter. Okay? It's like a harness, but a two-man harness. Okay, a harness is something that you put on one horse or one ox, but this is a two-man one where there, and it's wood, so it's like connected and stuff like that. Anyway, the point is, the Lord says, take my yoke upon you. Why does he use that symbol? Well, first of all, a yoke is a symbol of partnership, okay? Because like I said, it's a two-manner, not a one-manner. So it's a symbol of the two of us carrying something together. So when he says, take my yoke, automatically, my yoke means he's already on one side of it. So he's saying, stick your head on the other side. Automatically, that means that your load, whatever it is you're carrying, is automatically going to be cut in at least half. Okay? Automatically. But then even more so than half, because you're not picking up someone else's load, but you're picking up the Lord's load. Well, he's God. He doesn't have a load. He doesn't have bitterness. He doesn't have anxiety. He doesn't have stress. He's God. So you're picking up a no man's load. You're picking up zero load and giving half your load up. This sounds like a good deal to me. And our Lord even tells us that. He says, in case you're worried about my yoke, let me tell you about my yoke. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. So he's saying, come take your burdens, come take your whatever, your guilt, your bitterness, your anxiety, stick it on this train or this whatever, and I'm already tied to one side, you tie your head to the other one together, and automatically your burden is lightened. Does that make sense? Look at Psalm 55, verse 22. It says, cast your cares on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. Cast your cares on Him. He'll take care of you. He'll never let the righteous fall. He'll never let someone who comes to Him with burdens fall flat on their face. Who's got a stronger back? You or the Lord? His back is stronger. His legs are younger. He's got more energy and more ability to pull. So you pulling it by yourself is foolish. He's saying, come to me. Give up control to me and I'm going to help you out. I can do a much better job than you and I want to help you with your load. So ask yourself this question. Every one of us comes here today with yokes. Every one of us comes with burdens or whatever. Are you overburdened? Are you overstressed? Are you over whatever in life? Well, if so, you're not yoked to Christ. Because if you're yoked to Him, then your burden is not heavy. If you're yoked to Him, then your burden is light. Okay? Now, I'm not condemning anyone to hell here or anything like that. It's very possible to be a very devout Christian, have a relationship with God and everything, but not be giving up control 100%. Okay, that's very, very possible. And all of us fall into that at times. It's not, what I'm not talking about here is saying, I choose to have a relationship with God and all of a sudden everything is handy-dandy. This is a moment-by-moment thing. That anytime you walk into a situation, anytime you feel a situation coming on, first thing you do is you come to Jesus and say, you know what? I want to share this with you. I want you to help me out with this. I don't want to do this by myself. So you could have done that for the first 25 years of your life. But if you didn't do it today and yesterday and last week, you're going to be overburdened today. You're going to be overstressed out today. I'm telling you this from experience. That any time I notice myself detached from Christ or trying to take too much control, automatically the stress level jumps. Anytime you see me stressed out, come to me and say, Buna Anthony, you ain't yoked to Christ. Call me out on it because I know it's true. And I know that anytime I become, like I said, I become a little bit detached, stress level goes up. Then I become attached again. Stress level automatically goes down. Automatically. All right? Once you become attached to the Lord. Sounds too simple to be true, but it's that simple. Okay? Come to the Lord. Give up control. Another reason that the Lord used the yoke as a symbol. If you are yoked, okay, there's two things which are inherent in a yoke. If these two yokels are yoked together, okay, there's two things which by definition must happen. They must have the same direction and the same pace. Okay? They must have the same direction and the same pace. That's what it says, they're yoked with Christ. It's like a three-legged race. If you're tied in a three-legged race, one guy can't run 100 miles an hour, the other guy 2 miles an hour. It just can't. It can't happen that way. One guy can't go left, one guy can't go right. That's going to be a problem. It's going to be a dangerous situation that's going to occur in that if that happens. Same thing, if you're yoked with Christ, you must have the same direction, you must have the same pace. Okay? And that's what farmers would yoke them. They put them together to guide them and to direct them. But more so than just point them in the right path to make sure that they were going also in the right pace. When it comes to coming to Jesus, oftentimes we think of the first one, the direction. All right? And we want direction from the Lord. Lord, I come in quiet time, give me direction. Who should I marry? Marry this person? Sure, go for it. No, it's not just direction. It's direction and pace. It's not just about where should I go. It's about when should I go. It's not just about who should I be with. When should I be with them? Okay? So it's not just about direction, but also about pace in life. The Lord has to be your pace setter. You know what a pace setter is? He's the one who guides the pace. All right? NASCAR fans, there's a yellow car that goes around, and it tells you how fast to go. He goes 50, you go 50. He goes 500, you go 500. You go just as fast as he goes. All right? Well, our Lord is telling us here, I want to be the pace setter for your life. Automatically, lots of us think, well, the Lord wants me to slow down. Well, not necessarily. Okay? Not necessarily, because sometimes he wants us to speed up. I found that we as human beings always go to one of two extremes. Either really, really fast, or we don't move at all. Either we have to do everything in one day, or we don't have to do anything for a month. We always gradually gravitate to these two extremes. I'm not saying the Lord's coming to tell you to slow down. Somebody's coming to tell you to speed up. Somebody's telling you to wake up, first of all, and then speed up. But either way, he knows what's better for me. He knows where I should go. He knows when I'm supposed to get there. So ask yourself this question. Who's setting the pace for your life right now? Who's setting the pace? You may be a devout Christian, but what's setting the pace? Is it your career goals? Setting the pace of when things are supposed to be done? Is it your marital aspirations that are setting the pace? Is it your leisure, your comfort? What's setting the pace for your life? I'm telling you something is. And if you are not like overtly asking the Lord to set the pace, if you were not intentionally as coming to Jesus and saying, you set the pace, I'm telling you, he ain't setting the pace. Someone else or something else is. This is why lots of us get stressed. Because if you don't set the pace, what's naturally going to happen? Is you're going to look around, and you're going to see all the other paces that are going on. You say, I got to catch up to those guys. All the other oxes are running really fast. I got to run just as fast as them. Everyone else is putting in 15 hours a day. Everyone else is working to get this diploma, this and that. Well, I got to keep up with them. Well, they're overburdened. They're overstressed. Why? It's like the blind leading the blind. You know? It's like, it doesn't make sense, but that's what we do. We follow people who are burning out because they know how to set a pace. And we say, well, I just got to follow them. Got to be like them. That's why it's super duper important. Like I said, come to Jesus. Give him control. You tell me where to go. You tell me when to get there. And when you are connected to him, this yoke, you automatically go the right place. Okay? And for most of us, it's slow down. Alright? If you read the Bible, Jesus was never in a hurry. It never says Jesus ran to get somewhere. Never. And in fact, if you look at it, when I picture the Lord walking from what I read in the Bible, I picture him walking, even strolling, some would say even sauntering his way through life. He was very casual about the way he went. He never was in a rush. He'd be on his way to one city. Someone would stop him and ask him a question. He'd sit and talk. He never rushed them until they went away. Then he'd be on his way. He never rushed anywhere. In fact, one time, his good buddy Lazarus died 3 miles away. 3 miles. This is his good friend. How long did it take the Lord to go those 3 miles? It took him 3 days. He didn't rush. He didn't run. It took 3 days to get there. Why? Because his pace is right. He didn't want to go and heal a sick person. He wanted to go 3 days later and raise a dead person. See the way the Lord works? We always rush, rush, rush. Got to get there quick. And we ask, we get this much done. But he's saying, take your time. I'll get there in 3 days instead of 3 minutes. And instead of healing a sick person, which is this good, I'll raise a dead person, which is this good. It's always that way in our life. God always has a better plan and a better timing for things. But we just have to trust in him and give him control and let it go to him. And then he'll show us at the end. Okay? You guys know Psalm 23. The psalm of the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. All right? Well, I'm going to read to you a modern translation of it, all right, done by the Japanese. Okay, this is a modern version of Psalm 23. It says, the Lord is my pace setter, I shall not rush. He makes me stop and rest for quiet intervals. He provides me with images of stillness which restore my peace. He leads me in the way of efficiency through calmness of mind, and his guidance is peace. Even though I have great many things to accomplish today, I will not fret, for his presence is here. His timeless all importance will keep me in balance. He prepares a refreshment and renewal in the presence of my activity by anointing my head with the oil of his tranquility. My cup of joyous energy overflows. Surely harmony and effectiveness shall be the fruit of my hours, for I shall walk in the pace of my Lord forever. The truth is in life is every one of us is yoked to something. Every one of us is tied to something, has our pace set, has our direction set by something. Question is what is it going to be? Jesus says no matter what it is that you're yoked to, whether it's expectations, whether it's career goals, whether it's a person, whether it's a hobby, toss it. Get rid of it. It ain't going to do you any good. No matter how good you think it may be, toss it and take my yoke. Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When Jesus says there, my yoke is easy, the word being translated easy, actually a better definition for it is perfectly fit. Okay? Perfectly fit. And Jesus was a carpenter when he lived, right? Carpenters used to make yokes. They're made of wood. So Jesus most likely in his day made a yoke or two in his life. When they, a carpenter, a typical advertisement for a carpenter shop, all right, lots of carpenters would have this word right here, that our products or our whatever are, the word being translated easy or better, perfectly fitting. Okay? Lots of times that would be like a typical carpenter's ad. You know, that's the way he would advertise. Well, that's what the Lord is saying right here. He's saying no matter what yoke you may have, take mine. Mine's a one size fits all. Mine perfectly fits exactly your situation. Oftentimes, when we carry our own yoke, like I said, we become overloaded because we end up doing things that we are not perfectly fit for. All right? We end up taking on burdens or responsibilities or activities that are not a perfect fit for us. All right? Anytime we are overburdened or overcrowded, we are automatically means that there's something that you are doing or you are involved in that is outside of this perfect fit for your life. Well, how do I know what the perfect fit is? Well, I don't know the perfect fit. Who knows the perfect fit? That was step one. Come to Jesus. Give him control. He knows the perfect fit. All right? And until you have that perfect fit, there's always going to be too much stress in your life. Okay? So you need to exchange your yoke for his. Now, what if you say, okay, well, can't I wear two yokes? Is it possible to wear two yokes? You Olympians in the room, is it possible to be in two three-legged races, like be tied to a three-legged race with this guy and tied to a three-legged race with this guy? Is it possible? No, it's going to be a disaster situation. You can't walk, right? You need to move both at the same time. It's not going to work like that, right? So you can't be yoked to two different things at the same time. It's impossible. You cannot yoke an ox to this one and an ox to that one. It can't be, it's not possible. I'm telling you that the truth is that many of us in this room have like a dozen yokes on us. You don't even know it. You got your family yoke. You got your career yoke. You got your school yoke. You got your friends yoke. You got your church yoke. You got all kinds of yoke on you. You may not even realize. You got all kinds of expectations, all kinds of deadlines, all kinds of things which are pressuring you and pushing you. You may not even realize it. What the Lord is saying today is take all them yokes and chuck them. And take my yoke, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Okay? Again, any time that your burden is too much or your stress is too much, you're automatically doing something, either one, something God doesn't want you to do, a direction He doesn't want you to go, or two, a pace that He doesn't want you to be moving at. And the only solution is to take His yoke. We think the opposite. We think that the solution to my stress, what's the common solution? I'm stressed out. Take a vacation, right? That solves the problem. That doesn't solve the problem. That doesn't fix the problem. Because basically what you're doing, you're taking the problem with you. Because the problem ain't your work. The problem ain't here in Virginia. Where's the problem? Problem's inside your head. Problem's inside you. You're taking your problem over there. And that's why I know some people, when they go on vacation, they can't sit still. They have to always be doing something. They're fixing the toilet or checking out, you know, good deals on the timeshare, all this kind of stuff. You know? People, it's not the problem is the work. The problem is not the school. The problem is you. That's why you can be in medical school, and I gave you this example before. I remember two people who were in medical school at the exact same time. Each of them had similar grades. One of them, stressed beyond belief. Man, the guy couldn't even take 10 minutes out of his day to check the scores on SportsCenter. The other guy was very, very casual. Picnics, parks, anything. Why? Because the problem is not the school. It's not medical school. It's that person's inside. One of them was a naturally stressed person. He liked to take on everything himself. The other one learned how to give up control and find the antidote with the Lord's yoke. Okay? Come to Jesus. Give up control. And then the third step is you must learn to trust. Learn to trust. The third key to stress management. Alright, and that's the last part of the verse where the Lord says, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Learn from me. Of course, you're going to talk about a life of peace, a life of purpose, a life of significance. There's no better person to learn from than our Lord Jesus Christ. He was the best model. And if we want to lead the same life He had, life of peace, best thing we can do is follow His footsteps. Alright, let's study His life. You know, through our daily reading of the Gospels and our daily reading of the Bible, let's study Him and do what He did. And let's follow the example that we learned from Him. Okay? But that's why one thing I put there is not just trust, but it's learn to trust. Okay? Because learning is something that takes time. Learning is a process. And it doesn't happen instantly. You may be stressed and burdened and guilt and anxiety and bitterness, all this kind of stuff. It took you years to get in that mess of a situation that you're in now. I don't think it's going to switch overnight. It took you years to get into that mess. It's not just going to get fixed overnight like that. It's something that takes time. And day by day, through, you know, our daily time of coming to Jesus, spending time with Him, giving up control on a day-to-day basis, on a minute-by-minute basis even, anytime something comes into your life, you will learn how to trust Him and how to have a stress-free life. Okay? The habits that led to your situation now of a hurried lifestyle, these habits are not something that just happened last night. Alright? We've been ingrained with these habits for years. So naturally, it's going to take a little bit of time to get rid of them. There's no quick fix of what I'm trying to say. No matter what any book promises you, no matter what any pill promises you, no matter what anyone promises you, there's no quick fix to leading an overstressed life. So, we learn from Him. Well, what do we learn? Okay? This is going to be the good part here. He's going to say, learn to be like me. And I said, learn to follow His life. So we say, okay, great. We're going to learn from the Lord. I want to learn how to do miracles. I want to learn how to raise the dead. I want to learn how to give sight to the blind. That's going to make me very unstressed. I want to learn how to shoot my boss down when he gives me more deadlines. I want to learn those cool things. What does he say to learn? Tricks? Healings? Magic? What does he say to learn from me? What does he say here? He says, gentle and lowly in heart. Wait a minute. That seems like kind of a jip. I can think of lots of things I'd like to learn from the Lord. Are you going to teach me how to be less stressed out by being gentle and lowly of heart? Come on, give me courage, give me power, give me stamina, give me something, wisdom, give me something. He says, no. I want you to learn gentleness and lowliness in heart, or humility is another way of saying that one. Well, where's the correlation here? How does this have anything to do with stress management? How is it that if I'm too stressed or too overloaded, then if I become more gentle and become more humble or lowly in heart, that I will be eased, or my load will be lightened? Well, that's because the Lord knows that the two greatest causes of stress in your life are the opposite of gentleness and humility. First, opposite of gentleness, what would you say the opposite is of being gentle? I would say aggression, okay? Or aggressiveness. I don't know which of them is correct. But aggression is the one I think is right. All right? Aggression is one of the biggest reasons that we get ourselves into trouble. What I mean? We get into a rush. I gotta have it now. I gotta make the promotion now. I gotta buy this car now. I can't afford this car, so I gotta work really, really hard in order to pay for this car. We buy things we can't afford. We do things that we can't do. We sign ourselves up for things that we know we don't have time to do or energy to do, but we just gotta get them done. We're in a rush to get things done and be the first one, and we don't want to wait. We don't want to take a chance to pause or anything out there. Hey, it's a dog-eat-dog world out there. You know, there's no time to sleep. There's no time to rest. You know? That mentality gets in our head. And that mentality leads us to an overstressed, overloaded life. So the Lord says, first thing you got to do is don't be aggressive. All right? Get rid of that aggressive mentality. You got to be gentle. And then the second thing He says, you got to be humble or lowly in heart. What's the opposite of humility? I'd say arrogance. All right? And arrogance gets you in even more trouble than aggression does. You don't realize how much your ego is responsible for the stress in your life. It's a lot more responsible for the stress in your life than you may realize. What do I mean? We, through our egos, our arrogance, say, I'm sure I can handle that. I'm sure I can take that on. I'm sure I can get this done by this and this date. I know that I'll be promoted by the time I'm 22. I know I'll be promoted. I know I'll be making this much money by this year. I know I have this many kids, and my kids will be perfect. And I know my kids will be reading by age 1.5. I know my kids will be. Because my kids got to beat those kids. Sometimes we think that we can do it all, that we can be it all, that we can have it all. We think all that kind of stuff. That's nonsense. Right? None of us in this room are Superman, so we shouldn't try to live a life like Superman. Right? We have to realize that as much... We have to be humble in heart, lowly in heart, which means we know that God knows what's better for my life. He knows better than me. So the Lord says, if you really want rest for your soul, then the antidote is gentleness and humility. Being gentle and being lowly in heart. We need to remind ourselves every single day, okay, and this may seem stupid, but do it. Trust me, it's going to help you out. That you are not the master of the universe. That you are not He-Man. Okay? That you are not Superman. That you do not control the world. That you do not have the ability to do everything that there is to do in life. Jesus is the master of the world. He is the master of the universe. Alright? We need to remind ourselves of that every single day. That's what He tells us to learn from Him. And if you look at His life, you want to see the secret of the Lord's success. Didn't He live this to a T? You know, in the Gospel of St. John alone, There are 12 times where the Lord says a variation of either I only do what the Father tells me, I only say what the Father tells me, or I only go where the Father tells me to go. 12 times in those 21 chapters. The Lord was totally dependent upon God for every move, for every step he took, for every word that came out of his mouth. He totally depended on God. He said, I only have one thing to do in life, and that's I want to please God. I don't want to do anything else. I want to be obedient to what he tells me to do. Let me ask you this question. If you said those words, and that was really your goal in life, only to please God, only to obey God, do you think your stress level would go up or down? Do you think your burdens in life would go up or down? Do you think your anxiety or your bitterness or your guilt would go up or down? Down significantly. It's not even close. If you start to have this lifestyle, which says, I'm only trying to please one person, that's the Father. I'm living for an audience of one. I'm not playing to try to please anyone else. I'm only playing to please one person. Then I'm telling you, you will sigh a breath of relief. Yeah, you will have a breath of fresh air. What am I trying to say here? Breathe a sigh of relief, okay? Thank you very much. Breathe a sigh of relief. Sorry, I get confused sometimes. Breathe a sigh of relief, right? It's a sigh of relief to realize that you don't need to be involved in it all. You don't need to make the decisions. You don't need to know the answers to everything in the world. All you need to know is one thing. Is, Lord, what do you want me to do right now, right here, today? And that's it. Your stress level, you want to lighten your load? Man, that'll do miracles for you. Look at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24. A man's steps are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his way? King Solomon was a smart guy. He says, you know what? There's not even a point in trying to understand. There's not even a point in trying to plan your whole life. There's not even a point in trying to figure out why everything happens. All that matters is, Lord, what do you want me to do today? He'll get me where I want to go at the right time. All I need to do is trust in him. Why should I stress out? Final verse on your handout. Psalm 142, verse 3. King David says, when my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who know my way. How many of us today say, my spirit is growing faint within me? How many of us say that we're pushed to the brink? Well, King David is saying, it's you who know my way. The secret of stress reduction is learning to trust. Coming to Jesus, giving up control, and learning to trust in him. Summertime's here, and this time of summer is a time about invitations. You get invitations to weddings, you get invitations to barbecues, you get invitations to graduations, all kinds of invitations. Well, I'm telling you, the greatest invitation of all mankind in the history of the world is what's written on your handout there. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There is no greater invite. Come to me, you who are overstressed. Come to me, you are overloaded, overburdened, have too much guilt, have too much bitterness in your life. Come to me no matter what your situation is, and I want to give you soul rest for your soul. To me, that's a great deal, and that's one that we can't turn down. So no matter what it is that's weighing you down in life today, no matter what it is that's burdening you, the Lord invites us today to come to him, to give up control, and to learn to trust, and then you will find that true rest for your soul. Okay? Any questions? Yes, sir, Mina.
Basically, I was listening when you were given the Japanese version of the Bible.
Okay, good. I'm glad someone was listening. Very good.
But Psalm 23, and you made a statement about the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking in my mind, God is present in you, but I'll be present with God. In our Christian life, we set a duality among ourselves. We say, this is my life. And this is God's life.
Mm-hmm.
Christ, God intends for us to say basically that God is my life. Christ is my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, eternal life was with the Father, and that eternal life was manifested to us. And it's like a conjoining, that intimacy with God, that you can say that he is my life.
Mm-hmm.
Not just Nina's life, and that's God's life. Not just Aruna and his life, but God's
right.
life. But he is my life.
Mm-hmm.
The scripture even goes on to say, basically, a different scripture that said, when he bursts the cloud, when he comes in the second coming, he that is my life shall come. Mm-hmm. You know? So Christ is my life.
Right.
My life, and the chrismation confirms that. It's a confirmation that he is my life. So I belong to God.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So. Very good point. Mina brings up a good point, which is, when sometimes we get like burdened and stressed and stuff, add on what Mina said, is we always pray the same prayer, God be with me. Don't ever pray God be with me. That's not a good prayer. Okay? God be with me? What do you mean God be with me? God is with you. It's God. I know God's with me everywhere. God, let me realize that you're with me. Let me feel your presence. Let me realize that your presence is here. Don't say, God be with us when we go to this interview. God's already there. God's everywhere. So God be there. You're praying a prayer of, you know, something that already happened, something already took place. That's like going to a meal, eating your food, and then ordering something. Like, it doesn't, it's already there, you know? God be with me, no. What we say is like Mina said. Is God said, is that He's everywhere. And what we want to do is, God, let me feel your presence. God, let me experience your presence. God, let me, you know, like, be rest assured that your presence is with me. Because God is everywhere, but some people walk around in the presence of the Lord, some don't. It's not because God's different. It's not because God's in this guy's life more than this guy's life more than this guy's. It's because this guy chooses to be with God more. Chooses to recognize that presence more. Okay? Thank you, Mr. Meany. Yes, Janine.
How do you balance being goal-oriented or being, you know, on the goal? Mm-hmm. And being laid back like Jesus was, and allowing things to be, like allowing myself to be distracted by various things. I mean, if I'm walking straight, I'm going to work. I need to be there at that. If I want to follow the example of Jesus, and every time I run into someone I know, I stand there and I chat with them, I'm never going to get to work.
Right. Okay, so the question was, just for those who didn't hear it, how do you balance between being goal-oriented and also, being laid back? Well, let's first make one thing clear, is that our Lord was extremely goal-oriented. Okay, I'm not telling you not to be goal-oriented, I'm telling you make the right goal. And the goal of His life was not, I got to be somewhere at a certain time. The goal was, like, obviously the goal is I got to please the Father, but let's try to make that a little more concrete. Our Lord set His day-to-day, because you should have a big goal, you should have little goals. Big goal is, you know, to have a family. Little goal is that, you know, if you're married, then you say, you know, this year I won't have this kid, this year I won't have that kid. Big goal is get educated. Little goal is, you know, do well on the econ exam, this econ final. So, big goals, little goals. So, big goal is please God, obey the Father. You gotta have little goals in there. What I'm telling you to do, what the Lord's example for us, is you set those little goals in perspective of the big goal. So first thing you do is you set your big goal and use that to help you set your little goals. What I mean by that is, God, my goal is to please you. My goal is also to get educated. So you let me know what you want me to do, and I make those decisions of what my goals are, you know, in prayer after coming to the Lord saying, whatever it is you want. You know, and for some of us, the Lord wants us to go to UVA. Some, believe it or not, He actually wanted some to go to like JMU and Virginia Tech and places like that as well. You know, He wants different people to go to different places and do different things. But the point is that ultimately my goal is please God. All right, and these other things fit in the way. Oftentimes we do the opposite. My goal is have a good career. And in the process, hopefully I can please you, Lord. You know, but my number one priority is I'm gonna make, you know, manager. And, you know, in the process, if I have time, you know, I'll be kind, I'll do all these kinds of things, that's number one goal. He says, no, it's the opposite. Your number one goal is to be kind. Your number one goal is to be loving. Your number one goal is to please me. And you do those things through whatever other thing that you do in life. Okay? Does that make sense? Thing is, I know I can't be very specific, but the problem is that everyone here has got different missions in life. Everyone's got a different agenda for their life. And it's dangerous for me to come up here and say, you know, what, you know, God's will is, because everyone's got a different specific will. Everyone's big will is please God, obey the Father. But your specific one is something like Rudolf Shelley told us today in the sermon. I can't tell you. I can't tell you what it is God's will. Do I go here? Do I go here? I don't know. Do I marry this person? I don't know who you marry. I don't know where you live. I don't know what job you take. Only God knows. Don't ask me. Why are you asking me? Go ask Him. Some people want to come to Abuna, tell me what God... No. Abuna, I can give you advice. I can tell you what I think. But I can tell you I make mistakes just as much as anyone else. You have to learn to go to God. You have to learn to spend time, like I said, with the relationship. Come to Jesus, give Him control, and learn from Him, and ask Him to set your little goals. Alright? But our big goal is easy. Obey God. Love God. Clear? If anyone wants more guidance, like if you feel like really confused about what I'm talking about, you want to like discuss personally, you know, your goals and stuff like that, I'm more than welcome anytime. William Shoy is more than welcome anytime to discuss it with you. But I can't give a general mandate as to what the will of everyone is. With one exception. What was the exception? Anyone who was here the first week? What was the one exception to everyone's will? Anyone remember? We said the importance of the ability to learn to say no. Remember that?
Always do what Abuna.
But there's one exception to that, right? Which is anytime Abuna Anthony or Abuna Shoy asks you to do anything, that's the will of God. Clear. Okay? No doubt. It's at 2 o'clock in the morning. It's in the middle of a Saturday afternoon. Doesn't matter. That's the will of God very clearly. Clear?
Yeah.
Let's stand for prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and God, amen. We thank you, our dear Heavenly Father, from the depth of our heart for bringing us here today, allowing us to stand in your house, dear Lord, and to spend this time with you. We appreciate so much, dear Lord, the offer and the invitation that you made to us, that we may come to you to relieve ourselves from our stress and our burden and all the hassles of this world. This world is too much for us, dear Lord, and we're sick and tired of living in a dog-eat-dog world. We want to please you, and we want to lead a stress-free and a balanced lifestyle. So please, dear Lord, give us discipline to come to you every single morning before we leave the house, spend our quiet time with you, and to receive our marching orders for the day. Give us, dear Lord, to give up control of everything in our life, our jobs, our families, our relationships, our school, our whatever, dear Lord. We give that all to you, and we ask you to guide, and you set the pace, and you take care of all the details. We want to learn how to be gentle and humble as you are, dear Lord. So please teach us by your Holy Spirit, which is alive and active inside us. I pray that you would bless our gathering here. Bless all my brothers and sisters who came today seeking rest for their souls, seeking you, dear Lord. I pray that you would make your presence real in their life on a day-to-day and minute-by-minute basis. I pray for our church. I pray for our Father, Bunim Shoy, Tsuni Irini. I pray, dear Lord, for all the mothers this day, that you would bless them and that you would reward them for all their labor. Through our Lord, God, and Savior, Jesus Christ, and through the intercessions and prayers of our Holy Mother, the Mother of God and the Mother of Light, St. Mary, through the prayers of St. Mark and St. George and all your saints, hear us, Lord, as we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now may the love of God the Father, the grace of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, the gift of fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Go in peace. May the peace of God be with you all.